Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Here's to good friends.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hmm. That's sort of an oaky afterbirth.
What was that?
She did tell me to get a beer and some cheese fries over at Eskimo Joe's.
That's very nice, lovely. I only hope you feel this way when I'm done. Because I could destroy this night in 2 seconds.
Why is that funny?
Well, I think it's a bit funny to be trying to define nothing.
Smooth as a bourbon on a summer day. Strong as a peated scotch in the winter night. This is a fair warning. The Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
John Wayne was not lying. We are burning daylight. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight. Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting in studio with David Niles, Juan Posada on the buttons, Jim. We missed Jim last week.
Yeah, but we got the full gang though today.
Yeah, the gang's back. Dave, this was an exciting weekend.
Yes.
It was very nice to be able to hang out with a bunch of Catholic guys. Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm just yawning a lot. I'm very tired.
we were at the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference. It was the 25th Catholic Conference, 25th anniversary.
Which is awesome.
Which is, yeah, incredible. I was really excited to go. I've been to 23 of them. My dad took me... when I was 9 years old, the very first one.
And your dad's been to every single one.
And my dad's been to every single one.
That's very awesome.
So
very impressive.
If you are listening right now and you have boys 9 years old, 10 years old, it is not too young. They're not too young to go to a Catholic men's conference. Take them. Now, I'll just tell you, when I was 9 years old, I wasn't like super into it. I slept basically the first, you know, there's two talks.
I was
lunch,
excited
talks.
To go though at nine.
I was excited.
It
yeah.
was like the 15, 16, 17 years when I like
excited.
Was a little bit less excited to go.
I was always excited, but I slept through basically the first two talks at night.
Because
you have to get up super early to go down there.
Right.
It was like a 2 hour drive to get down there, 2.5 hour drive.
Right. Yeah.
And so I would just be breaking my neck, you know, nodding off. For the first two talks, but it's still not too young. Like he planted the seed of tradition in our family that we are going to go to the men's conference in our state.
Right, right. And that's really that's I think the crucial part is that there's a tradition behind this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's father son sort of stuff.
Right. And so we all started going, and then we made the tradition, which I think
Mexican
was
food.
Yeah, which was a great tradition. After the conference, we'd go
always get Mexican food.
Yes, which was. We did that this year.
I was glad to get to go this year. I was really excited to go last year.
But your lung decided it collapsed.
Yeah, just decided. My right lung decided to take a vacation.
From breathing.
Like the day before.
Right.
It was the day we were supposed to leave, right?
No, it was like the day.
Oh, right. Because I was in the hospital for like 9 days.
Right. Yeah, it was the week of.
I was in there for a novena, full novena.
It was the week of.
Right. So I didn't get to go last year. They had Father... Leo Padalinghug last year, and I was super jazzed to get to meet him, but
didn't get a chance.
Alas, he still doesn't even know I exist.
He does. I interviewed
I mean,
him.
Like just because you say
that
like,
interview,
oh, I have a buddy,
right? Yeah,
you don't know,
right? But That interview is available for our patrons.
He has no idea how good looking I am, or
I don't think he would care.
I mean, like, just from like a human standpoint, I think he would appreciate, you know.
I don't know. I don't know.
The way that, you, a man, appreciates like watching a lion bring down a gazelle on the Serengeti, I think that's how most men appreciate my good looks. It's like,
that is,
you know, I'm not attracted to it, but I can't take my eyes off of it.
David Bates is going to make that a meme for sure.
That's I'm just being honest.
Okay, right, fair now. Enough. I'm trying to transition away from this.
Right.
We're having a drink today, sent to us by a patron member. I'm very excited to try it. Jason Rohr sent it to us.
Thank you, Jason. You know what? Nobody has sent us liquor in a long time. It used to be on the reg.
Right. It's been a while. So, Jason, thanks so much. So, I really, before we actually tried the spiced rum.
I already did.
You did? Okay. Well, before we officially try it, I wanted to talk to you about what Jason does. He sent me a little message that said how he evangelizes, which is going to be perfect for our topic today, what we're going to discuss. He calls himself the Catholic dummy. And when he goes and talks to other people about the faith, you know, he says, he's just like, hey, listen, I'm just the Catholic dummy here. And so it instantly breaks down the walls of, it, you know, are you pressing me here? Like, is there intimidation factors? No. I'm the Catholic dummy. I'm just wanted to talk about Jesus. And so he says it's really effective, especially when it comes to Mormons, whenever he's discussing faith with Mormons.
Yeah.
Because they think, oh, good, you know, we got one.
Yeah.
We got somebody who doesn't know their faith at all.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
he does know his faith and he continues to learn his faith.
Easy target.
But he doesn't claim to know all everything. You know, he was a continual learner. In fact, he told me he went to the Latin Mass for the first time maybe a couple years ago or something like that. And at the end, he looked at his wife and he goes, I thought that was beautiful, but they didn't even speak Spanish. And she goes, no, it was the Latin Mass. And he thought, oh, well, I thought like Latin, Latino, like I thought like it was going to be like a Spanish speaking Mass, you know? And so he likes to tell that story, you know, just to kind
That's
of.
That's a true story.
Yeah, it's a true
that
story.
That is an awesome story.
Yeah.
You know, like Latin people.
Right, Latin, you know.
Like Latinos.
Right. And
Latinos and Latinas.
Yeah, Latin America, you know, that's what he was thinking.
None of these people even look Mexican. I'm going to say something here.
So I thought that was just really funny.
Looks like racial appropriation if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I just thought it was really funny because he was telling me that story. So he sent us a couple different rums. He sent us this spiced rum. Mm. It's Bayou spiced rum. It's from, obviously, from Louisiana.
It's the pride of Louisiana.
The pride of Louisiana. He says he enjoys it the most on the rocks, so that's what we're gonna how we're gonna have it tonight. He sent it to us. He suggested it that way, so that's how we're gonna drink it. So we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers to Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jason.
You should give Jason a toast while I try it officially.
Officially try it. Jason, may you always be in the arms of our Lord. May you always be under His protection and guidance, and may the Holy Spirit come down upon you as you continue your mission to make disciples through all nations. Cheers. That was the best I did.
I like it.
It was hard not to like, because it's right. Like, what, you don't like evangelization?
Yeah, it's like, and as you go from like in the Catholic dummy world, Jason, I hope that someday you go from being like a halfwit to a complete idiot. Someday I hope that you find completion in your... That's from this movie. It's from long story.
Okay.
But there's this guy in a town, and he's like the town halfway.
He said long story. No, that means you don't tell the story.
I'm not telling you the whole story. I'm just telling the very basic elements. His dream, though, is to become a complete idiot.
Okay.
And at the end of the movie, he does it, and he's very...
This is a very good rum.
It's delicious. The rum is delicious.
It is.
I've been waiting to say it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... I haven't sipped many rums before, you know?
It's made with the finest Louisiana sugar cane
in
a copper pot still.
Yeah, copper pots. So, like, I've had spiced rum, but obviously it's, you know, I've gone through my share of Captain Morgan, you know, in my day. What college kid didn't?
Right.
I don't have...
Funny little fact, if you mix orange soda with Captain Morgan, it tastes like a dreamsicle.
I believe that.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, do you have any orange soda? Not that I would do it with this, but
no, I don't. But this is very good. Thank you, Jason, for sending it over to us.
Mm. I am going to drink it. So it's got like a... Oh, there is like a little bit of orange to it, though. It's not just because you said orange soda, but there is like a little bit of citrus.
It has a little bit of like Christmas time taste to it.
A tiny bit. Some cinnamon, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tastes really good. It'll be fun to sip. It's 40% ABV.
It's just delightful.
Yes. So, anyway, thank you, Jason, so much for sending it over to us. Dave, something else that we have going on very soon is that we are launching a new course for the Patreon members.
Indeed.
With Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn is going to be doing a course on fitness, nutrition, health, mm-hmm. the importance of it, the virtues and vices that come along with it. We're getting close. Part of the reason why we don't have it already is, shocker, it's my fault. But we should be launching it, I think, within probably 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
So that's pretty...
I can be patient.
Okay, I appreciate that. So yeah. We also... Dave, tell them about
that. What's the course about?
I just said it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stopped listening for a second.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Fitness... Oh, my gosh. This is going to be an interesting
fitness
episode.
And what?
Fitness, nutrition.
Okay, importance. Yeah. I heard that.
What interviews did you do this weekend?
So, we were at the, just a little background information, we were at the Catholic Men's Conference this weekend. Did you say that too? Okay. Sorry, I'll try to do better.
Yeah,
I will try to do better.
You are a struggle bus.
But I got
today.
To interview, you were busy emceeing, and I got to interview all the speakers right after they were done. So, I got to interview Jeff Cavins. Mm-hmm. I got to interview Jim Beckman. I got to interview Tony Ferraro and Steve Agrisano.
Agrisano? Mm-hmm. There's an I in there.
Agrisano. You say Agrisano is what you're saying. It would be an A that you're throwing in there.
That's just how I heard
it. However it is. All of which were just phenomenal speakers. The Catholic Men's Conference here in Oklahoma is always top notch.
Right.
I mean, it really is
the gold standard.
I honestly feel that way, that after going to so many conferences around the country, Oklahoma is the one doing it the best, I think. So it was a really great weekend, great experience.
What did you talk to Jeff about?
Banana bread. I didn't actually, but that's one of his jokes.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jim Bo Baggins here in the house. We are sipping on some Bayou Spiced Rum, and it's just very good. I really like it. I might have to get some.
This episode of the Catholic Man, or this segment of the Catholic Man Show, is brought to you by The Catholic Woodworker. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com, use the promo code TCMS to get 10% off all purchases. He's running really great deals right now, some really good specials, some opportunities to buy some rosaries for your men's groups, for your XS90 men's groups. He also has these home altars if you travel a lot. There's not a better way to sanctify your hotel room or wherever you're traveling than carrying a home altar with you. It's small, yeah, it's compact, it's totally easy. Here's what it looks like right there. It gives you also like a different prayer cards that you're able to put on there, like St. Thomas Aquinas, our mother, St. Joseph.
You could get a picture,
a whole slew of
picture
different...
of me if you wanted to put it on there.
Yes.
I mean, some people might want to do that.
And we also have the Catholic Man Show hat if you're interested in that, go to shop.catholic.com. Or no, I just said shop.catholic.com for Catholic
totally,
answers.
Totally wrong thing.
No, thecatholicmanshow.com/shop. So
we should get a prayer card of St. Thomas Aquinas wearing a Catholic Man Show hat.
That'd be sweet.
That would be very sweet.
So Dave, okay, wait. So before we get into the gear today, we're talking about the kerygma today. We'll tell you guys what that is if you do not know what the kerygma is. But you talked... Probably the reason why we're doing it is because we talked to Jeff Cavins.
Yeah. So we got to go. We smoked a cigar with Jeff Cavins on Friday. It's just Jeff, you and I went out to the cigar bar. Had a phenomenal time. Jeff Cavins is a very cool man. just I knew I was going to be meeting him this weekend, but I thought he would be kind of like intellectual, personality. He was so down to earth, totally chill. He brought his pipe with him.
Right.
He was ready to go. Like,
he was just like,
I had a blast.
He was like
with
one
Jeff.
Of the, like an interesting man.
Super interesting. If you ever happen to run into him and he has his pipe, take him out and like get him to tell us his life story.
Yeah.
It's the craziest.
Yeah.
He has had a crazy life. Like is a super cool crazy life. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why we're talking about the Kerygma today, because he gave a talk. It wasn't just about the Kerygma, but that was a big part of it. He inspired me, and so, like, that's what we're talking about today.
So, the interviews that you did that we'll probably be releasing for Patreon, what did you talk to him about on the interview? Because I didn't even get to
ask you. Haven't even heard. I mean, it was just, a lot of it was, like, kind of summarizing some of the points from their talk.
Okay.
I let the Holy Spirit just flow through me. In those interviews,
I'll be interested
to
hear.
It was great.
Okay,
one of them, Steve Agrisano, it cut out in the middle of his recording, so I'm not sure
it's
where.
Probably the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like, you know what? Yeah. We're just gonna cut it right here. That's good enough, Dave. Thanks for showing up today. I'll take it. I'll take it from
take
here.
It from
it's
here.
All right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. So, but it was a really great weekend.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So, man gear today is hiking boots.
Which kind of, like, will relate to the topic today.
Right. Do you have any hiking boots?
I do have hiking boots, yes.
What kind are they?
I'm not aware.
You don't know, like, what brand or,
not
like...
Sure. I bought them a long time ago. They work really well. But here's my only hiking boot story that I...
What does Jim have there?
Timberlands.
Timberlands, yeah.
Yeah, those are good ones.
I've never owned
any Timberlands. The only hiking boot story that I have is that I decided to wear my... When I went hunting this last year, I wore my rubber boots because it was kind of rainy. And so I was like, well, I'm going to wear my camo, my muck boots.
Yeah.
And I wore them. And the 4x4 Jeep that I took up to my hunting spot stopped working. It's like an old 1980s Jeep, you know, lifted with big tires, but it like stopped working. And I was like, oh man. So I walked down the mountain and as soon as I started walking down the mountain, I realized I wish I had my hiking boots, not these rubber muck boots. And I had to walk 3 miles back to camp
in these
rubber muck boots.
Now I will say, depending on what kind of muck boots you have,
they were not the brand muck.
Okay. Boots. Cause I was going to say, you can spend over $200 on some.
No, these were the,
and some, they're muck. If you get those muck boots, they are nice.
Yeah.
You'd have been just fine.
These were $30 ones from Academy.
Right. Yeah.
So it was Blister City.
Right. Totally.
But I definitely wish I had my hiking boots at that time.
So I have a pair. This is a Christmas gift, a pair of Keen hiking boots.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how much I love them. They are incredible. Like in the snow, they're also kind of snow boots a little bit, you know?
Weatherproof.
Right. And so just recently here in Oklahoma, 2 weeks ago, we had negative, I mean...
The wind chill was like negative 15 degrees.
I think the temperature was -9 is what it got down to.
Maybe so.
And I was out sledding with the girls at that moment with these boots on.
That may seem imprudent.
No.
Taking your little kids out there at -9 degrees.
They wanted to go. We had a blast.
Okay.
We had a blast, really. Even in those temperatures, my feet were just toasty warm. Toasty warm.
Nice.
And even when I wear them in the summer, when I'm hiking, it's not like my feet are getting too hot.
Mm-hmm.
These Keen boots, I don't know. I was trying to think, like, how long have I had them? Probably 10 years.
Wow.
I've had them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look brand new, but I've probably got another 5 to 10 years left in them. Nice. I mean, they are not at all wearing out. I was looking at their website on the way over here. You can get a pair of Keen boots. They're expensive, like $150.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, like, if you're going to be hiking or especially in the cold,
mm-hmm.
it is worth it.
Well, especially if they last that long.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because when your feet get cold, you're just not doing anything anymore, right? If your feet are cold, you shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a saying that it's not the mountain that defeats you, but the pebble in your shoe.
Right.
And it's like, so if you're... I feel a little bit like Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump at this moment. Like, number one thing right here, socks. Keep your feet dry. Okay. And, of course, he ends up losing his legs later on. But it's true. Like, if your feet are cold or uncomfortable, or if your feet are suffering, you're just totally arrested. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're going to be parking it for a while. So having a nice pair of hiking boots,
mm-hmm.
man,
you just can't
do it.
So how does it relate to the topic today? We can jump into it. Let's just jump into
the
topic.
We can. Well, because the kerygma is about, it's the essential elements of the gospel. And it's important to know so that the gospel can be easily explained. It can be easily passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're passing on the gospel, you might... I was just thinking about the apostles walking from town to town, you know, all across the Middle East and Europe and beyond, spreading the good news,
mm-hmm.
taking the kerygma. The word kerygma actually is it's a Greek word for proclamation.
Proclamation.
And it's in the Bible, the books of the New Testament, 9 times. So it's actually Paul, St. Paul uses it 6 times in his writings, in his letters, for exactly this, like spreading the gospel, like spreading the kerygma.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just why I picked the boots, just because
it
kind of fits in a little bit.
I think as Catholics, sometimes we have so much inside baseball that we play as Catholics,
yeah.
especially when you're coming to evangelization.
Which is cool.
Yes.
I like the inside baseball.
And I mean, even, I guess even sometimes we're guilty of this on the show. We have all these different topics on philosophy and, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas and like the 5 ways and all these other topics. And really all it's boiled down to is just so that way you have a deeper understanding of
right.
God, a deeper understanding of our Creator. And a lot of times we make it way more complicated than what we need to. When it was interesting.
Well, you know, it's good that we have those complicated things because, you know, they serve an important role.
Yes, I wasn't trying to belittle.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But just in case, like, somebody else doesn't know what you mean.
Right.
Because we want to be specific. We want to say what we mean, and we don't want to say what we don't mean. So we do have, you know, like words like consubstantial, transubstantiation, you know, like mm-hmm. these are specific words that we use on purpose for a reason. They can be a little intimidating to somebody who's not Catholic or even Catholics who just don't know their faith, you know, but they're there for a reason. It's not essential whether you know, like when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, tell me the definition of transubstantiation.
Right.
That's not on the test, you know. It's something that as a good Catholic should know. But right now, like today, we want to talk about the getting back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know here in Oklahoma, us Catholics are a huge minority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are way outnumbered. And so when you're having a conversation with somebody who's not Catholic, you need to be able to present the gospel in an elevator pitch. You know, it's like, you know, you and I are both salesmen,
mm-hmm.
and a salesman needs to be able to have the elevator pitch, you know,
right.
in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to explain to someone what it is you do for a living in such a way that they're interested, you know, and understand
mm-hmm.
what it is, like how you can add value, how you can help serve somebody. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what the kerygma is. For the faith, a way that you can very quickly, because sometimes, you know, as you're going about life, you might have only 20 seconds with a stranger.
At least to initiate
right.
conversation.
So, like, you got to make the most of that 20 seconds.
Right. I mean, even when we were talking with Jeff Cavins, he was just saying, I could probably talk to anybody in here about the faith. And it has nothing to do with deep theological discussion, but
right.
Being able to relate to who they are
yeah.
and gain their trust and then talk about what we believe. So We'll continue this conversation on the other side. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Talking about the Kerygma today. This segment is sponsored by Select International Tours. Go check them out. They're on our, if you go on our show notes, we have a banner for them. You can click on that. That will go take you straight there. You can sign up for possibly a pilgrimage that we're working on once everybody can start traveling again.
The pilgrimage game is ramping back up.
Right.
And right now, you can still get discounts on pilgrimage. I'm speaking in general right now. Mm-hmm. So if there's a pilgrimage you've wanted to go on, now is the time.
So go check them out. Select International Tours.
You don't have to go on it right now, but you book it now.
And you get like
you could book it for next year or something.
Right.
Or like, let's just hypothetically say like 4.5 years when Biden won't be president anymore or something,
Okay. We are talking about the Kerygma today. That is what we're talking about. So I think before we even discuss, what is the Kerygma? What are we trying to do? We're trying to, relay the faith.
So if somebody comes up to you, this is a challenging thing. It's actually not. But it's just something that people aren't practiced at. If they say, why are you Catholic?
Because it's true is my answer.
But they're going to disagree with you on
right,
that.
I know.
That's a good, it's a correct answer,
right.
But it's not an attractive answer.
Right.
So it's not effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you shouldn't have to pause about. Hopefully that's a question. If somebody asks you, light up, when someone asks you that question,
you get,
they need to see you your demeanor change and I am so glad you asked me that question.
Because it's a love story.
Right, exactly. Why do you love your wife? If someone asks you that question, you will. You'd be like, right. Oh, man.
Right.
Where do I start?
Right.
At least I hope that's the case. So it should be the same with the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding the Kerygma, which, a good practicing Catholic understands it. They just aren't familiar with it. Hopefully they are, but many, many people are not. Let's just lay it out.
Okay.
Let's just lay it out. So we're talking about the basic message of the gospel here. So there are, four elements. They're technically, depending on who you ask, there are seven official parts of the Kerygma, but there are four elements, and the four elements I think are really what you should remember. Don't try to remember the seven parts, because I think it's a little bit less effective. So the four elements are: God loves you and has a plan for your life. That's mm-hmm. number one. Number two is that sin has ruined this plan. Sin has marred the relationship that we have with God. Number three is that Jesus came to save you. He died on the cross in order to restore that relationship and restore you to the good graces of God. He paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of put these things in your own words. That's what I'm doing right now. And that four is that we need to respond to that grace.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to, we have this call to be baptized, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to live in that grace.
Right. To repent, to believe, to be baptized.
Right, exactly. So those are the four elements. The seven official, I don't actually know if it's official, but it seems to be pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a fair amount of agreement that these are the seven things, is that number one, God loves you, has a plan for your life. Number two, sin will destroy you. Three, Christ died to save you. Four, repent and believe in the gospel. So you can see those first four, those are the first four elements. So that's mm-hmm. why I think those are most important. Number five, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. Six, abide in Christ and his body, the church. Seven, go make disciples. So if you just remember the first four,
it'll carry you through the rest of the
right.
way.
Right. The others, they're just kind of like a logical, they just follow logically.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jeff Cavins, he gave this talk, and he really opened my eyes into some things that I didn't understand. Jeff, he was a charismatic, he was a pastor and, you know, Pentecostal preacher,
Assembly
pastor, for several years. He was raised Catholic, so, and then he reverted. And I think that his time in the Protestant world really, really helps him a lot, in that he doesn't have a lot of those hang-ups when it comes to talking about your faith. For us as Catholics, often the faith is a very private, it's a very private thing, you know, like, oh, I have this interior life. It's my interior life. It's hard to explain your own interior life. I get that. It is hard to explain, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if that's your experience with the faith, it makes it difficult to talk about. It's not something that we practice a whole lot. And I think that's to our own detriment. That's something we got to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's on us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And our Protestant brothers and sisters, they do it so much better than us. I mean, that's something that they really excel at, many of them.
They like almost embrace the awkward moments.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens a lot of times, is whenever you talk about your faith, you say something, and then there's this, like in sales, whenever you name the price,
you have to embrace the awkward moment.
Yeah, because the next thing, once you say the price, the next rule of thumb is, like,
don't say anything.
You shut up.
Right, because if you say anything next, oh, you're toast.
Right. And so those awkward moments are hard to build in if you're not used to having those awkward moments.
Yeah, and I think with this kind of thing, they're awkward more in the beginning. Like, the more you get comfortable with doing this, with this message,
mm-hmm.
the less awkward it becomes, because the better you get at simply just weaving it naturally
into
a conversation.
Right.
Jeff Cavins, he gave a lot of great just examples from his own life. Some were more astonishing than others, but they were all just pretty natural, you know.
Well, he gave this example one time that some lady he met, she was really upset about the Catholic Church, and she realized he was Catholic, and she raised all these things up against the Catholic Church. You know,
right.
I can't believe the Catholic Church does this, this, and that.
You've got the priest scandal.
You have the, you know, art at the Vatican that sell all that and give it to the poor.
To the church. Yeah,
he goes... He just said, you know what? You're right. There's a lot of sin in this world. There's a lot of things that have been ruined by sin. Like, he started there. And that automatically was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting you to say. I was not expecting you to go that route. Which is the number two point, basically,
yeah.
on the kerygma. You know, sin destroys God's plan. He was like, you know, there's a lot of sin in this world. But we do know that God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, by the end of the conversation, she was sitting there crying. She was upset because.
And then they ended up going to mass with him.
Right.
She ended up going to mass with he and his wife.
Right.
After saying she was like how much she hated the Catholic Church.
Right. In a matter of 24 hours.
Yeah.
She went from I hate the Catholic Church to I will go to mass with you in 24 hours.
You know, I mean, Jeff Cavins is a, you know, particular charismatic person. You know, like just his own personality and, you know. It's not like, oh, if you started, you know, saying these things to people, these are going to be your results. Results may vary.
Sure.
But one of the things that Jeff really tried to drive home is that this is not a message like other messages. This is not like saying this, saying these things, that God loves you, sin has ruined that relationship, Christ died for you, repent and believe in the gospel. Saying that to somebody is different from saying anything else.
Right, because the power is in the message.
Right, this message has power in it. He was explaining how the Holy Spirit confirms this message in the heart of the receiver, right? And so you don't have to, it's not up to you to like convert them to, you know, say the right things.
Yeah, persuade them to.
It takes the burden off of you when you're dealing with somebody. You know, like to just. This is the message. This is the message that everybody needs. If somebody has already heard this message and bought into it, then you don't need to just repeat it to them. You know, like if you're talking to someone who already pursues Christ in their life, you know, Protestant, Catholic, or whatever, then maybe you talk about other things, right? But for somebody who doesn't, and it's hard to know that, but this is the most important thing for them to know. There is nothing more important in life than coming into a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, so even if it's awkward for you, the gift that you're giving to somebody is, you know, it's like you're going to not give it to them because it's awkward. Maybe.
Right. But I think that what ends up happening is the rescued end up rescuing more. Right. The further the depths of, you know, how, like, what your life is in, you end up being rescued, and you realize that the power is in the message that Jesus Christ did come down to save you, and it did change the whole world. It changed everything. And once they realize this and how he did it just for you, when they realize this and they realize that Christ died for them, then a lot of times they're no longer like, once that finally, like, this switch is made, I think that a lot of times that fortitude, that courage is instilled in them, and they're no longer worried about those awkward moments as much.
Right.
Because they have been saved. You know, it's just like St. Paul, right? He was, you know, all of the horrible things he did, when he had that conversion moment and things just switched and he realized he was rescued, he wanted to go rescue more.
Right.
And that's just the natural working of the Holy Spirit within you whenever you get baptized. Whenever you know, believe in the gospel, the power is in the message. All you have to do is go do it.
Amen, brother.
We'll keep going with it.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about the Kerygma. This segment of the Catholic Man Show brought to you by Adam Minahan. Go to adamminahan.com just to have your mind blown.
No idea what that is.
I also don't know what it is. I don't even know if there is an adamminahan.com.
I didn't do it.
All of a sudden, I'm afraid that there might be.
Yeah. It's not me.
But this segment is brought to you by Adam Minahan, Timothy Adam Minahan, actually, if you will, my co-host today. Adam, thank you for supporting the show with your presence here today.
You're welcome. I'm happy to do it.
It's a blessing to us all.
It's an honor.
Yeah. Okay, so the Kerygma. We kind of talked a little bit. We went briefly over the four major elements. I'd like to talk about, break them down a little bit. Full disclosure, we're talking about this like this is something that I'm talking about it like it's something that I know and do. I am just as bad at this as everybody else. I also feel awkward doing this. And I also rarely do it. In fact, I was telling Jeff how terrible I am at responding to, like, those little urges. You know, sometimes, like, you have those, like, feelings like, ooh, maybe I should say something to that guy. And you're just like, that would be really weird. And I kind of sit there, like, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? And then the guy walks away, and it's like, okay, oh, I don't have to do it.
Right.
Good. I should have done it, though. I mean, like, if you have that urge, just do it. Mm-hmm. What's the worst that's going to happen?
And we've talked about that on the show before, like, those little urges. That, like,
I just want to, like, full disclosure.
Right. Well, we all can continue getting better at it.
Right. Right. But anyway, number one, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Mm-hmm. First, before you can do that, we also need to confront, I think, ourselves. Do we believe that? Because there's a lot of Catholics, there's a lot of Christians who go to church, but when it comes right down to it, do you believe that statement? Does he, that he loves you and has a plan for your life? It's one of those things that I think a lot of people just kind of say, yeah, yeah, of course. Oh, of course. But if you believe that, then you will live like it. you know, that you, if you believe that God has a plan for your life and that he is the one organizing, you know, to some extent, to the most extent, the things that happen to you, then you will have a faith and a trust.
Right. And that's like the pre-evangelization part, right? Is like, you can't sit there and tell them about all this stuff if you're not the one, if you're not trustworthy, if they, mm-hmm. if they can't look at you and say, like, if they can't look at you and say, you know, there is a hope within him. You know, maybe, you know, maybe I do need to go check him out. Like, the, or there's just right. something different about him,
right?
Compared to all the other guys. You know, I rarely even see him in a bad mood. I rarely see him. You know, he's always smiling. I don't know, whatever it is. There's something about you that stands out, different, and it's because your faith changes the way you live your life.
Absolutely.
Just like I maybe Jeff even said, this is
the
shape of your life. You know, yeah. how you change whenever you get married. It's a different, like, the way you live your life is different.
Yeah, when you fall in love, the shape of your life changes. You know, when right. you started dating your wife, the shape of your life changed. Certainly when you got engaged, the shape of your life changed. All of a sudden, you're not doing the same things. You're not, you know, you're just not the same person. Then when you got married, and then when you had kids, certainly you're the shape of, you know. Right. So when you have this encounter with Christ, and if you're sharing the kerygma with people, then presumably then certainly you have had it, mm-hmm. you know. But I think it's just one of those things that you can't be too quick to gloss over, because relinquishing control of your life, that is like, I believe God has a plan for my life and I need to surrender myself to it. That is a huge thing. It's step one in sharing the gospel.
Right.
Because if you believe he has a plan for your life, then that means that this person who's here in front of you is part of that plan. That's why you're sharing the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. Because you believe it's, as a disciple of Christ, part of that plan is go and make disciples of all nations. Here is someone in front of me that the Lord in his divine plan has put in front of me. Therefore, you know, so I need to share it with them. So if you haven't embraced this idea that God loves you and that he has a plan for your life, and I promise you, he does. Mm-hmm. He has a plan for your life that will blow your mind. Your maximum happiness resides in following to the T this plan for your life. Surrendering yourself, abandoning yourself to his will be the happiest version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so if you haven't internalized that, and if it's something you don't live out, then you're just not going to be as effective. Okay. I'm not saying that, I'm not giving anyone an excuse here to say, that's not something I do well. I have anxiety issues sometimes, or I don't trust very well sometimes. Therefore, I'm not ready to share the kerygma. That's not what I'm saying.
Right. Even Jim Beckman this weekend was talking about how he got out of fasting. He stopped fasting because he would start fasting. It wasn't his gift. You know, I'm going to try other things for fasting, because he would start fasting and he'd get a headache.
Right.
And he said, like, oh, I can't do that. I'm getting a headache. So I'll start giving up other things instead of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on Exodus 90 and he realized, no.
You had to fast a little bit longer.
Your body had to get used to it, mm-hmm. and you fasted a little bit more, and now your life has changed. You know, you're able to do that.
Right.
And I think it's just a period of growth. Anytime you have a period of growth, there's something that's pushing you back. There's something that's restraining you. There's something that's that you're having to break through the wall to continue growing. And there's going to be pushback. There's going to be uncomfort. But right. then once you get past that, you don't even think about it anymore. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, Adam, but I know people who have told me that the whole, like, oh, that whole, you know, like talking to people, that's just not my thing.
Right.
I'm just not good at that. You know,
God didn't tell you to be good at it. He just said, be faithful.
Well, the thing is, this is not a complicated message.
Right.
And that, as we said already, the Holy Spirit will confirm the message. Because this is the gospel. The Holy Spirit alone can convert somebody. If you, we're talking about the basic message. It's not that we're, you know, saying an incantation over someone. It's like, oh, these are the words you say. It's not a spell.
Right.
But conveying the idea, the message behind God loves you. He died for you. And he wants to be in relationship with you. That you are loved beyond your comprehension by him. He loves you so much. He came just to die for you. to show you his love.
He became one of you and died. You know,
right.
He took on human nature to die for you.
I mean, this is it's not a hard thing to say. I mean, just like from a word standpoint, words are hard. We know that.
We do know this.
But these are not hard words. Mm-hmm. But we still want to make sure that we've internalized what it is, the message that we're really saying to people. So the second one is that our sin has ruined our relationship with God. I think this one is just so easy. Who doesn't know this?
Right. And this is something you can agree. Like, this is a good starting ground with a lot of people, right? It's like, yes, you're right. There's a lot of things wrong in this world. Right. You know, we have messed up.
Because depending on where you are in the country, I think a lot of people are just going to go ahead and grant you, number one, that God loves you and has a plan for your life. You know, if you're in a, like, if you're on the West Coast, maybe that's a harder sell.
Right.
Here in the Bible Belt, that's not a hard sell.
Right.
People believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people also believe number two. I think really one of the big hangups for Catholics is that this whole thing sounds Protestant. You know, it kind of sounds like you're saying faith alone. You know, just accept Jesus as your savior and now you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that there is some truth in that. You know, if you are going about your life and someone comes up to you and preaches the kerygma to you and you are convicted and you say, okay, how? I'm in. At that moment, if you like die right then, how are you to be held accountable? I mean, like, you've accepted the gospel. You know, it's like you have now accepted the seeds of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, as Catholics, we're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace, you know, and that's what we believe. We're saved by grace. And that works itself out in many ways. Faith works. You know, it's like the whole of God alone judges the soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there, I think a lot of people, and I get it, you know, it does sound awfully Protestant when you're just as if like, there, I'm done. Okay, you accepted Jesus.
Well, the thing
is over.
Like, once you accept, like, once
but
you,
this is the basics.
And once you accept Jesus, now your life is like radically transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And by radically transformed, that means you no longer do the things that you did in this life, you know, before. But this new life that you've had, this new baptism that you've now undertaken is telling you, is demanding of you to go do more things.
Because right. Baptism actually is part of the kerygma. Be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. When you get through the seven part version.
Right.
And then
the last one is go make disciples.
Right.
Right. So it's now.
And then, but before that, abide in Christ and in the body, his church. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you accept the message, all of a sudden you're radically changed. You probably aren't. You're probably very largely the same person you were 10 minutes ago. Except that now you have accepted grace into your life. Okay. Grace does not very rarely change you 100% on day one. God works miracles sometimes, mm-hmm. but we all know living the life, the spiritual life, that it is a gradual process. It's a day, minor change at a time where we slowly come to accept more and more of God's love. We slowly conform ourselves more and more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like it's going to be a... It is a radical change, but not with radical speed. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's keep talking about this a little bit more.
Okay.
This is the end of the fourth segment, but final comments.
More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
The raging glass. What if a person doesn't want to hear the message and is defensive whenever you bring up religion? Well, I think that goes into what we were talking about with pre-evangelization. They have to know that they have to trust you. They have to know that what you're saying is like, what you're saying is, the reason why you're saying it is because you love them. It's not because you're trying to win an argument. It's not because you're trying to push something down their throats, but that you have something that they don't. And because of that, you love them so much, you want them to embrace it. You want them to come in communion with them in that. Perhaps if you're bringing up something and they totally are shut off by it, you've taken one too big of a step. There's like steps that happen.
I also think there's just going to be some people who you say this to, and they're going to look at you and like curse at you.
Well, and then St. Paul says, dust off your sandals and go into the next town.
But at the same time, remember, the Holy Spirit will confirm the message. They might curse at you because they're being convicted, and like it hurts them to be for their own interior to be confronted that way. So they may curse at you now, but tonight when they're lying in bed, it might haunt them.
Yeah,
right. You know what I'm saying?
Seed.
You need to be praying and fasting for them.
Right. Yeah. Jim's over here.
Be praying and fasting. Right.
Yeah.
Jim, no, you want a show? We'll give you a show.
The Jimbo Baggins show.
That would sell. I feel like that would sell, Jim.
That'll preach.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so like the thing is,
and a lot of times
you do it, don't expect to see the fruit.
Right. And a lot of times it's really hard to do if you're doing it online. You know, if you're trying to make this all happen online, it's very tough to do.
Conversion is always harder when you can't look somebody
in the eye.
In the eyes, yeah.
Right. So that makes it even one step harder.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it only takes place in like, face-to-face, really. It almost only takes place face-to-face relationships. But even if they don't, even if they pretend to reject it, you don't know that it's not going to haunt them. And 5 years from now, they might...
Well, tell them about your story with Father Larry Richard.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, so Father Larry Richard... He came to the Catholic men's conference.
Right.
The one we just went to.
That's why I wanted, like, it comes full circle.
Like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a long time ago. I was a teenager. And he came, you know, Father Larry, he's a powerful speaker. I mean, like, in many ways, he punches you in the gut. You know, like, for men. He's a great speaker for men because he'll let you have it. And I remember him saying, you know, like, talking about morality, sexual morality, and saying, trust me, if you don't believe me, one of these days you won't be able to sleep at night and you won't know why. And when you're laying there in bed, I want you to hear my voice.
Trying to figure out what
it is. I want you to hear my voice say, I told you so. And I remember like liking, like, yeah, Father Larry, he's good. So then fast forward to college, I was living a life that he had described pretty well. Mm-hmm. And one night I found myself lying awake and I heard I wasn't thinking about him. I mean, all of a sudden I heard Father Larry's voice say, I told you so. It freaked the hell out of me. Yeah,
I bet.
Because I went like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And actually that night, this is like at 1 a.m. when I couldn't sleep. I have narcolepsy. Okay, so
which is
for me not to be able to sleep, it's like a miracle,
right?
And I got up and actually ran. I felt like I can't drive. I could have driven. I wasn't in a I was in a condition to drive, but I just felt like no, I need to run to the church, and so I ran to this church, which was like a mile and a half away, in the middle of the night, and I got there, and of course. It's locked.
Right, because it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
However, it was under construction. And so they had one of the exterior walls demolitioned with just like a plastic sheet like around the edge. And so I went up to like where the plastic sheet met the actual wall and was able to just like slip right, you know, between it. And I did get into the church and prayed and like... I did really like that was a conversion moment for me, big time. And like I started going to daily mass. It didn't last forever. You know, it was like I was one of those people who Christ at that moment, I think I described pretty well the seed that falls and like on rocky soil. Is that mm-hmm. what it, that sprouts and grows very quickly, but then dies. It doesn't have because it doesn't have the roots. Right. I was going to daily mass for like 2 months mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden I just fell back into like my old ways,
which
you know?
Is why, I mean,
because things got better. Right. I felt corrected. And so I wasn't struggling anymore. I didn't have this like drive, you know? And so because I was felt better, I went back to the old things I was doing that were so much fun, right?
Importance of virtue.
Right, exactly, exactly. It wasn't a virtue. I had no virtue. So I don't remember what started that.
Well, planting the seeds. Like, you may not even see the results.
Oh, right, exactly. So Father Larry, he planted that seed. Mm-hmm. And it was like 10 years, 5 years before it
actually took root.
Before anything happened. So, you know, when you're doing this, when you're proclaiming the gospel, mm-hmm. and just this basic message, this proclamation, this kerygma, don't expect that. In fact, definitely don't expect that the person you're talking to is just going to accept it. Mm-hmm. They probably won't. You know, in fact, in America, surely they've heard of Jesus. I mean, it's hard to imagine someone living in America who, if you said something about Jesus, they'd say, who's Jesus? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, they're gonna know who Jesus is, sort of, at least. And so, it's not like this is the first time, probably, that they've heard it.
Right.
In fact, they've probably taken steps to reject it. But because you have proclaimed it to them again, maybe, or because they see that you're not a hypocrite, that you really do love, that you believe the things that you say, which mm-hmm. is different, because not everyone does.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of people, Catholics, Protestants, there are a lot of Christians who do what they do, and they don't believe it. Mm-hmm. But they view it's either a job or it's a way for them to be popular, or, you know, they get like a, I don't know. There's all kinds of reasons why someone might be proclaiming Christ without believing him.
Yes.
You know, so when you step up and they can see in your eyes that you're serious, it might make a difference. But don't expect for them to just like break down and weep like in Jeff Cavins stories.
Right. Because with that story with Jeff Cavins, there's,
How many right, did he not tell? Right.
There's 100 of them that didn't work out that way.
Right.
But the ultimate, I mean, the deal is that as a baptized Catholic, we're now called to go and make disciples of all nations. It is not something that Christ suggested. It's not something that he said, you know, that the gospel makes it very clear. If you are a Christian, your job as a Christian is to disciple other people, is to go make other people Christian and disciple them.
Yeah.
And it's part of the beauty of the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ continues to grow, like, it becomes stronger and beautiful. Like, it just is, it's just something that it's mystical, how the more people that are involved, I mean, Christ made it, God made us for communion. And when we separated from that communion, but through sin, he brought his son down to die for us to bring us back into communion with him. And as more and more people go back into communion with him, we continue to live the gospel here in this life that we're called to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mind numbing. Like, to me, it's just mind numbing. It's just like, how does that, you know, as the body of Christ continues, one of the things that I always tell somebody, and I don't know, this may be wrong, some of the theologians, if you're listening, which I doubt you are, but if you are canon lawyers, whatever, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that
please don't listen to our show if you're a canon lawyer.
One of the things that I always tell somebody when they are received into the church at Easter, I always say, like, the church is so much better with you in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that I say to them, because it's personal. It's something that they can be like, yes, something that they can take ownership in.
It's incomplete without you in it.
It's incomplete without you.
And so it's very incomplete right now, because there's a lot of people who aren't in it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so like, on Catholic Answers, a very common topic is, can you be saved without being Catholic? That's like one of the 20 or 30 things that comes up over and over and over again. And of course, the answer is yes, you can be saved. That's not even why I bring it up. The question is, yes, they can be saved. Another person can be saved, like the Aborigine. And, you know, it's like, do whatever, or even just your neighbor.
They're being saved through the church.
That's not that what I'm really even trying to address. The question is, can you be saved without them being Catholic? If you're the one who's supposed to tell them.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, because, like, you made some big broad strokes there.
Well, like, the answer is yes, they can be saved. They can be saved.
They're saved through the church.
Yeah.
There's no salvation outside the church.
I'm just saying, yes, they can be saved. It's only because of the church that they can be saved. But yes, of course. What I'm trying to say is that those inklings that I get sometimes that I almost always ignore, I'm going to try to do better. That's on me. That person, like if that person never hears the gospel now, what if I was God's plan for him and I kept it to myself? You know what I mean?
Well, Steve Ray makes a great like depiction of this, of what you just said. Like, you know.
Right, exactly. You meet your neighbor.
Yeah, you meet your neighbor.
At judgment.
At judgment. And they look at you and say, you mean to tell me that you were saved? Like, that you knew all of this stuff?
You're judged, and God says, welcome into heaven. Right. And then right after you, like, before you get to the gate, you know, into heaven, you turn around and see your neighbor being judged right behind you, and he's condemned to hell.
And he looks at you and says, you mean to tell me you knew this? And
you knew about it the whole time?
You didn't even tell me
that? We lived together. We lived next door for, like, 20 years.
Right.
You didn't tell me?
Right.
You know, and life seems important sometimes, like the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, I think the big benefit of the idea of the memento mori, you know, considering your death. When you do that, you realize how unimportant.
Insignificant, a lot of things that you put significant.
Exactly. Like the things that we all think are so important.
And I have found that something that really helps me is when I feel stressed or when I feel burdened, when I feel that I'm not making a difference or anything like that, I focus my attention on other people. I focus on reaching out to other people.
I don't like to do that at the moment.
I don't either. I'm not, but I try. I do it. I force myself.
Yeah, you just have to make yourself do it.
You force yourself to do it. And
and it is hard. It's a virtue that you can do that because it's something you've practiced. Yeah.
Yes.
So, but, anyway. You know, like a lot of the last thing I want to say about this is that there's a lot of people, I think, who have scruples about the fact that they're not evangelizing more or, you know, here we live in America. Like, should I throw off this comfortable, wealthy life? I mean, even if you're pretty poor in America, you're still pretty wealthy by many, many internet, like country standards, right? Should I, like, am I sitting here living a life of luxury while other people suffer? Like, am I doing something morally wrong? A lot of people feel this way. Should I go in become a missionary for a long time and then come back? And maybe God's calling you to do that. I don't know. But the truth is that there are so many walking dead here in this country. There are people who walk around who are just dead on the inside, and they need somebody to evangelize them.
Mm-hmm.
But principally, the first people that this you have an obligation to do this is your children and your spouse. Okay, so you need to that's where you focus your attention. Once you have a game plan there, that's when you start expanding out into the outer rings, you know, like then literally look at your neighbor or the other people in your parish, you know, and of course, you know, be always open to the movements of the Holy Spirit as you're in the grocery line or something. But it's grow where you're planted. You know what I mean? You are where you are, and do God's will right there. Because he has a plan for you, and he put you there already.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.